Right, good morning. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip on Tuesday, the 2nd of November. And I'm really pleased today. We've got another one of our guest pods. I've got Andy Richmond on. Andy, another one I know nothing about. So really grateful for him coming on. Morning, Andy. How are you?
Good morning, Ian. Yeah, fine. Thank you. Yeah, very, very good. Looking forward to this, actually. I've enjoyed the other pods. And in fact, I've enjoyed your pods for about 2.5 years now. Yeah. Including all the rant ones as well, and even some of the Tottenham ones. So, you know, I declare an interest here. You know, must be the first time you've had a gooner on.
Are you a gooner?
Yeah.
Oh, we got to stop. Sorry, I didn't realise. I didn't realise you were a gooner. Flippy, oh, yeah. Eerie, mate.
I did wear something blue and white.
Yeah, it is. No, you have got a lovely kit on. I appreciate that. He is wearing blue and white.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's interesting times. I mean, that on Saturday, well, the whole season's been shambolic. The whole last couple of years has been shambolic, but the football's horrific. And he had to go. He lovely guy, Nuno, but he had to go. But
nice beard.
As we stand here, we're desperate at the minute trying to get Conte, which I can't believe. I mean, it just feels like we've wasted 4 months if that's where we're going to end up.
Should have got him the first time. And obviously, we've been in the same state of flux for what? Couple of years, but you know, I've been, you know, it's my 60th birthday in about a month's time, and I mean, I saw my first Arsenal game when I was what, 5, so I've seen plenty of ups and downs, and I can imagine some of the people had never seen anyone else other than Wenger manage a team. I've seen plenty of ups and downs, so the current side I can sort of take it or leave it. But I think there's that, there's a little bit of, it's getting a little bit better. I think you've got a few homegrown lads on the side. It sort of helps to get a bit of a connection back with the crowd like it used to be. But I've seen some rubbish down there over the years as well. So, take it on the chin now.
You've got some good young players. I think Tottenham is almost, for me, it's like it's looked at what Arsenal did when they moved in the stadium and fast-tracked that mess into 2 or 3 years, where Arsenal's was sort of a 10 or 15 year disintegration. Tottenham have managed to do it in nano time. Yeah. Anyway, we're here to talk punting. Anyhow. You are a full-time punter, Andy.
Yep, full time now. Obviously, used to do a little bit of other sort of stuff as well. Obviously, some people might remember me doing Racing UK, which I did for 6 or 7 years. I obviously did a fair bit of broadcasting. I mean, we had Betfair Radio, which is obviously defunct. So I've done a fair bit of that. But basically now, beyond a little bit of writing and running my own small trading group, That's it. You know, day-to-day life is punting, basically.
And that is predominantly, what's the predominant action?
Horses.
Horses.
Yeah, horses, especially. I mean, we are coming into my busy time now, National Hunt. I mean,
your National Hunt, man.
You've got that over the summer, but, you know, it's not as prevalent. And whilst I enjoy the better flat racing, and the summer is incredibly hard. Because of the number of fixtures that there are. I find that the winter a lot easier, not just because there are less fixtures as well, but because I think you get to know the horses better. I can look at races then and think, I know most of these, I know roughly what they're going to do. That's not saying I don't sort of check them. I spend an enormous amount of time watching races, basically, and compiling notes. And I've also got a system where I have all the horses sort of almost sort of coded with, you know, running annotations on them, et cetera, which you can buy from a lot of places. I know Timeform do that themselves, but I tend to do my own.
Keep your own. So your action's predominantly in running horses.
Yeah, it's a bit of a hybrid, really, Ian. I think I will trade pre-race, but I wouldn't say. Obviously, I've never seen Steve, who was on the program a couple of weeks ago. I've never seen Steve trade. I've never seen Peter Webb trade. I know Peter very well through my Betfair connections of the past, which I know we want to talk about. But I will trade on price there. I still do all my own tissues. I've got a background in odds compiling, that sort of stuff as well. So I will, you know, I will trade on that and, you know, look at the price movements before a race. So I'm not a traditional pre-race trader, and then take that into running if I want to. It's not every race, you know, I can, yeah. You know, some days it's a bit like you with the football. I think you really struck a chord with me the other day when you said you had your list of 10 games on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, and then the guy said, aren't we doing any more?
Yeah.
And I will genuinely, unless I spot an opportunity, will genuinely have, I'm actually looking at it now, tomorrow's sort of program of where I'm sort of going to target.
Where you're focused.
I'll sort of tell you the sort of races now that I probably want to target, and where I know most of the, you know the runners, got their run styles worked out, what they're going to do. There was a particular, it's a particular horse this afternoon. I said to my small group this morning, this horse trades, you know, has traded odds on 4 times out of 5. It doesn't always work. There's not, but be careful. You know, I wouldn't be a backer at a short price in running, traded 1.15 and got beaten.
Yeah.
Doesn't always work, but it's a bit like you with the, you know, the late goal or,
yeah,
or the first half goals. There is a, there's some form of science. I like to think there's some form of science.
Yeah, you've got a method to it.
There's a method. Through. Yeah, there's a method in the madness sometimes, and you know, sometimes that, you know,
yeah,
it can be a, you know, it can be a madness. And I've sort of developed into it. I mean, my background was really in, you know, being, you know, was sort of straightforward punting before Betfair came along. And then you get more and more into it, and you tend to find that you're sort of finding ways of making it work for you. And you know, listening to your pods for the last, what, couple of years now, certainly the last couple of years, I think we're very much of a similar ilk, is that, you know, there's not a one size fits all.
No, you do what suits you. That's
right. You do what suits you.
Yeah.
And whilst in running won't be for some people, pre-races for other people, whatever. If you're making money, hey, that's fine. And you don't need to be a, you know, you don't need to be, you know, I spoke to people who've made, you know, not, you know, making 50, 60 quid a day, and that suits them.
Mm.
If that's paying your bills.
Yeah.
Oh, you that's it. Yourself under pressure.
Yeah.
Hey, fine.
And that's the key word. It is putting yourself under pressure. That's exactly it. And
I think you gradually, I think the thing with me is you gradually find your level.
Yeah.
I was having this conversation with a very good friend of mine, who's actually best man at my wedding the other day, or the other, you know, and when I was chatting to him. And when we were chatting the other day, he said, your sort of punting has gone sort of exponentially upwards, and mine sort of just stayed the same. I said, well, it's just, you just find find yourself a level in the end, don't you?
Yeah.
You feel comfortable with. And I think that's where, I don't know if you found it with your group as well. I've certainly found it with my group, four or five of which are FTS members as well. So there's a bit of a crossover there. And I think the mentality that you've brought to it, and that hope I have brought to it, there's a big crossover there, that they, you know, they are very set on what they're going to do. Two or three of them are now full time. And it's that sort of discipline that maybe has come from the football that they've maybe to carry on into the racing, or vice versa.
Vice versa, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's brilliant to hear, like you say, you make a list. I think it is all those, for me, it's, you know, like I make golf analogies, it's the basics. If you get the basics right, cut the mistakes out, cut the chasing out, cut all that sort of stuff, you give yourself a chance. And
I use that analogy, cricket and football, my sort of real backgrounds of in a sort of playing sense. I had a reasonably good cricketing career. I'm 60 now, so I ain't going to be playing in your cricket match, Ian. So I'll come and umpire, but a bit too old to be playing now. But I did used to play for quite, you know, a decent level. And I was coaching my grandson, well, his little side the other week. And, you know, what they see now, they see all this T20 stuff, and they're wanting to play the scoop and this and that, and they haven't done the basics.
No, that's right. That's exactly right.
So there's your punting analogy.
Yeah.
You want to be doing lots of different things, and you haven't learned the basics.
That's exactly right. So going back to what you do, so you approach today, you've done some stuff ready for Tuesday, on Monday night, ready to go. I will just come clean. We are recording this Monday night, just in case I'm bound to misspeak and say we are actually recording this Monday evening. And you do that. So have you got a preferred method? Are you a back to layer, a lay to backer, or do you do a bit of both?
A bit of both. It really does depend on the horse's run style, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, basically, I will make an awful lot of notes. And what my group get every day is they probably get usually 35, 45, can be 50 minutes of me chatting them through races.
Right.
From that point, although because of the work we've already done with them, is the fact that they probably know what to do with that information. But they've all got very much developed their own style.
Yeah.
And I suppose in a way, it's not as nuanced and as sort of black and white as the spreadsheets that you send out. Yeah. But I give them all a sort of price where I would be back, you know, if it's a later back, I'm not going to go stupid and start later back in sort of 10 shots. You know, it will be something that maybe is under 3-1 probably. Yeah. And, you know, if you can get in at under, you know, my preferred word would be sort of, if you can get in at under 3-1, you should be able to get out of this, or you will be able to get out of this. This, you know, it's not an exact science. Of course it isn't. But the horse has a run style where you think it will trade bigger. And my one bugbear is, or one of my bugbears about when people look at in running, is they look at horses in isolation.
Yeah.
They don't look at the whole picture of a race.
Right.
Very much of how the favourite is going to perform as well, because I always think that the favourite is almost like a pivot in the race.
Right, yeah.
And how the favourite is going controls a lot of those prices.
Yeah.
Even controls a lot of in-running prices. I mean, again, going back to sort of, you know, people putting out lists of front runners every day. But they've not looked, you know, oh, it's going to front run. And I'm looking at the race thinking, there's three other front runners in that race, you know, and the favourite's one of them.
Yeah,
you really think that that's going to shorten up enough? Yeah. If the favourite jumps out in front, generally in the sort of something like a very weak novice hurdle, if you've got a favourite that is a bona fide front runner, and you won't have had as much information to work with there on being a novice hurdle, you might only have two or three runners. But with the jumps, you get to see them lining up. I mean, there was one incident this afternoon where a horse who was generally held up, I could tell you it was going to front run because all of a sudden, about a minute before the off, it got backed and suddenly it was lining up at the front and he was desperate to get to the front. Didn't do anything because the horse is a complete and utter hound. But you could see that movement was there. Yeah. And obviously then people were taking their profit back out. So you always got to be aware of things like that. That's why I find the jumps easier. But if you've got a bona fide front runner in a novice hurdle that is a short price, if that's got the sort of second favourite is then held up, that will shorten remarkably quickly these days because of the interrelationship between the horses.
And the horses in the run, yeah.
And it's something you've got to learn. I've spent a long time. I mean, I would love to do a day, you know, race reading with people. I've done various videos with my group. And I think that, you know, they are starting to really get it. But, you know, I've got, excuse me, sort of, you know, 30 years experience of sort of race reading and stuff like that.
We're going to set something up, Andy, you and I. Other than your Arsenal connection, which we just won't mention, we're going to become good muckers. The thing I want to ask you about, because this is the thing I get, I know some big in-running players. Big in running players, but they're big in running players that basically what I call cheap because they are drone users and, you know, they're literally paying these people to go to the track and then they're team viewing the pictures back via an iPhone or whatever goes on this drone and they're charging fortunes for the pictures to other people. It's a full professional operation. A couple of my best mates do it. How do you compete against these guys?
I think I know the run styles and I can read a race better than they can. Okay, right. not with an 8 or 9 second delay on it, of course.
But yeah.
I'm not working with that sort of delay. I might be working probably half a second off RUK, and I've got a feed. I have got a feed for a proper feed for the Sky Sports Racing Tracks or ATR, all the rubbish as they were known.
So you do have a separate feed that you,
So, but I think my, you can see it sometimes is that, I mean, I've seen it. I used to do a lot of our UK work at Air, and I've seen the guys in the box there and, you know, sort of been in and sort of watched the race in there. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I'm standing there thinking, looking at them thinking, that's going to do that in a minute. It's not going to do what you think it is. And it does. So, you know, and you see them, you know, I used to see them running in there like a minute before the, you know, a minute before racing started. No, there's no setup. There's no, you know, you're not just going to rock up at, you know, I don't rock up at my computer at 12:25 tomorrow, a minute before, and think, oh, I can do this in running.
Yeah.
I've got everything written down and
you're ready to go.
I might not use it. And yeah, they might have an advantage on me. And yes, there'll always be edges as well. All these people with an edge and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It depends what you think your edge is. I've been around 13, well, it's 13 years since I left Betfair.
Yeah.
So I'm still here. So I must be
That's right.
Not doing something right. Yeah. So
no, that's right. You sort of when you're not involved in it, you sort of led to believe that that's the only way it can work. The only, you know, again, it comes down to a little bit of this.
Yeah.
You do what you're comfortable with and what you know, and you operate in your own parameters, which is exactly what I do. You know, and I know I frustrate people by not having bits. I know I frustrate people. They look at it and see 100 games and go, how can he not have, how can he only find one game?
Yeah.
And I might not want to enter till 20 minutes and a goal goes in 2 minutes and they feel I've ruined their whole Saturday.
I'm sure my group will listen to this as well, and of course they know I'm coming on and they'll be interested, but and they won't mind me saying this, and I don't think it happens now, but when I had a few people who maybe didn't understand the whole where I was sort of going with it, and you've obviously dealing with a larger range of people, is that if I said we were going to have a quiet day, or I knew it was going to be a quiet day, you could almost feel the disappointment. I know that sounds strange. You sort of feel it coming down. It's a ridiculous thing to say. Feel it coming through the computer. It's like, oh, we're not having 200 bets today then. Well, no, we're not.
No, that's right. Might
be two races we're interested in. Might be a whole day. I'm thinking, well, that looks a load of scrap today, didn't it? And I only ended up doing the sort of continuous thing just to it sort of became a, it was a bit like you doing the podcast every day. It became a,
comes something you do.
It became a thing.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, how far can I get with this?
Yeah. That's,
you
know, right.
And you're thinking, well, how far can we to really push this?
Yeah.
And in the end, the sequence was broken by going on holiday with my two of my grandchildren who live over here, which was a great week to have off, really. Yeah. I mean, you know, and it was needed as well.
Yeah.
But I'm a bit like you. I'm a bit of a workaholic. Which I think you are.
Yeah.
And I like things done the right way. And I suppose I'm a bit OCD about some things.
Yeah, so I've definitely got a bit of OCD in me. I have definitely. I'm 100%. Yeah.
So, you know, like I've got all my coloured pens here. And,
I did that, made
me laugh. Was it one of the podcasts, a recent one? It might have been the latest one you did. I think you said, I put them all in colours, but I can't remember what the colours are.
Yeah.
But I can remember all the colours. So I've got all the colours. So there'll be colours for front run, etc.
Yeah, I that's what I do. See my spreadsheets, but
I would genuinely like to, and I have experimented myself of sort of automating it and making sort of pace maps and stuff out of the sort of data that I've got. But I've never really got that far. Maybe we need the man in Middle Earth to
we'll get that sorted for you.
Talk about that in time. But there is sort of, you know, there are lots of things like that, but because of the amount of racing for one person to keep up with it is incredibly hard. I mean, it's a lot of work. I mean, you know, and the other thing I say to, and I notice it with a lot of members, you know, I've said this to a lot of people about going full time, is, and you're obviously lucky, you've got your missus who's very highly supportive, and so is mine.
Mm.
She was actually the one who told me to go and do it.
Yeah. So I think yes, exactly. You got to have so, you know, it's a question I get asked, like, you've just got to have so much in place, but you've got to have mentally, you've just got to be so tough. That's, you know, that's what I think, and I just don't think people set themselves up. So you worked at Betfair prior to doing this?
I did, yeah. It was a circuitous route to get there. Because obviously I sort of started off in the bookmaking industry. I was actually going to Loughborough to do a degree in sports science. And I smashed my leg up quite badly playing football, and sort of drifted into the sort of betting game. Spent probably 7 8 years in that sort of side of the business. Ended up doing a law degree. And during that time, a very good friend of mine who I played cricket with at the time worked at a big advertising agency. I ended up working there, cut a long story short. They offered me a job there. I ended up in the media research department doing a lot of econometric work, and other stuff as well. Ended up working on 9 of the 10 biggest FMCG companies in, you know, in the UK, certainly. My last full-time job was head of European research when I was just over 40, but the clients were getting on my. You'd have loved some of them. You really would have loved some of them. I think you know, the F word quotient would have been out the window. A bigger bunch of idiots. I'm sure none of them ever listened to this. So a bigger bunch of idiots you couldn't have wished to work with. And during that time, obviously during that time, I was still punting quite seriously on a Saturday, but there was always that gap in the week when obviously, you know, I had to work and you were missing stuff. But I won quite a bit, won Royal Ascot. And I should have been in a board meeting and I was down the betting shop picking the winnings up. And at that point, I'm thinking, well, this is, and they sort of wanted me to go and I wanted to go. And that was it. So I did a bit of consultancy work for about a year, did a bit of work for TalkSport, which was quite interesting. And then a very good friend of mine who I owned a horse with at the time, was one of the legal eagles at Betfair, and he said, "Would you like to come along here and chat to Bert and Ed and a few other people?" It was sort of fledgling then. They'd moved, just moved from Parsons Green up to Hammersmith.
Right, yeah.
Ended up on the telephone betting department. Ended up running one of the teams in that on the sort of gold line, talking to some of the bigger punters, and did. I think it was about four or five full-time jobs there, around the, you know, around the various departments. Set the Rule 4 team up, which was, they did a lot of work with the multiples product that they did. First time they'd ever taken any liability, so I did all the liability management with that. Last job I had there was doing all the tissues for the Timeform race cards because they'd just taken over Timeform. So. And I used to do a fair bit on the sort of education side as well. With
Right.
the lad there was Scott Ferguson, well worth a follow on Twitter. Yeah, Scotty. Apart from the fact he's Australian, but
Yeah, I think I do follow him, I think.
yeah,
Yeah, I
Boris
do.
Ranting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good lad,
Yeah.
Scott. And he was head of education, and I did a fair bit of work helping him out on Betfair Academy and sort of education nights. Again, I still think they should be doing that now.
Yeah.
But you know, obviously the exchange, we could probably do a whole podcast on the exchange,
Yeah,
probably
we could,
me and
yeah.
you, and things that they should be doing and have done or haven't done. And during that time, I got into doing sort of the Betfair radio stuff there, which was very enjoyable.
Yeah.
I used to present my own program on a Wednesday night, sort of Kempton evening stuff, and we had people to interview and obviously, you know, analysis and stuff like that. Quite enjoyed that. And eventually, well, that was just after I'd sort of actually left, I'd physically left Betfair by then. I was still doing the work. And it was just at that time we actually sort of talked about moving back up north. Obviously, I was talking to you before we came on that I used to live quite near you down in Bickley, down in sort of southeast London, Kent borders. And we moved up here to where we are, to where we are now. That's 12 years ago. And sort of just after we'd moved, I managed to sort of get a gig on Racing UK as well. So I did that for about 7 years.
Yeah. So what obviously your Betfair's gone on, Paddy Power have come in, taken it over, flatter. What do you think now compared to the old days?
Oh, I wouldn't work there now. I think that's probably about the. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I would work there. Is that, you know, I would think when I first went there, and I'm so sure there'd be several people who I'd work with alongside there. They, you know, the majority of people were punters. You know, they either had a punting or a back a bookmaking or a city background, and we were all basically punters. Which was, in a way, it's a good thing or a bad, you know, you could say that's a good thing or a bad thing, but you had an empathy with the people you were dealing with, you saw their side of the thing. You wanted them to sort of, you know, get on. You wanted to teach people how it works and et cetera, et cetera. I had six and a half very happy years there in the last 6 months were shit, you know, but met a lot of interesting people. I would imagine that a lot of the people from there now are doing what I do. They were hugely intelligent, hugely, you know, very, very good. It annoys me now that the market management is so poor.
Yeah.
Because that department was superb. I worked within it and sat within it for a fair bit of my time there. And I can only say the guys who ran all the various departments, the football, the racing, were absolutely superb. Their knowledge was fantastic. And like, you'd never have seen a football game missing like us, you know.
Yeah.
Now,
I mean, no, I mean,
if they missed one, you were like, blimey, you've missed this.
Yeah. And do we think that's because they've shipped it out to, I mean, as I understand it, places like Romania and stuff like
that? Undoubtedly. Yeah. I mean, I've almost given up, Ian. I mean, every week you see a late non-runner or something still in the market 2 hours later, et cetera, et cetera. And there's absolutely no need for it. You know, some of the football excuses are bordering on ridiculous. You must get so frustrated.
Oh, I don't, yeah. I mean, I'm very lucky. I mean, I used to erupt. Because everything, you know, again, it comes down to that OCD. I start everything on a Friday for the weekend, get up really early and you button, you know, I can't do that. And I'm really lucky that a FTS member about 2 years ago, I think he realised that my blood pressure was booming and he said, I'll do all that for you.
Yeah.
And in effect, Art, who helps me as well. So between the two of them, they do a lot of the hounding now through the week. But it is every week. It's every, you know, they send me a report on Tuesday or Wednesday. You know, Ian, there's whatever we need, 121 games on a weekend. There's eight missing. These are the eight. And, you know, you see me put it on Twitter, right, guys?
Yeah, try and get these up. Yeah. But it's the reasoning behind it, why it can't go up.
It's nonsense.
And to be honest with you, Ian, I know that's bollocks.
Yeah, it's nonsense, exactly.
Absolute that's right. Bollocks.
Yeah.
You know, it's good having the other podcast I do, I know I can swear on that as well.
So you can more than welcome to swear here.
So, but it's absolute bollocks. And what annoys, and I don't expect the people there to be, you know, you don't have to be a massive punter, but I would be willing to bet that well over 50% of them do not know how to use the exchange or the frustrations and what's behind it easily. Whereas before I would have said, you know, 90 odd percent, certainly north of the 90 of the people who were customer facing, certainly had an account that was used regularly.
Oh yeah, I mean, I, you know, we've been shifted, you know, it's, they call it progress. We've been shifted, it goes down to what I said with Steve, with customer service. Yeah. I mean, I used to deal religiously on the phone. Now I deal most of mine's through email to the VIP team. But if I ever go on that chat thing, it's just horrific. All of it just melts your head. I just like, what is going on? Where the old days you picked up a phone and spoke to somebody and they did know what they were talking about.
Yeah. Well, that was it. I mean, I took out 20 grand. We went to New Zealand just before COVID. So we've got family in New Zealand. I've got two grandchildren in New Zealand as well. And it was, you know, I wanted to take 20 grand out. I didn't want to leave it sitting there in the account, just take 20 grand out. And it took me a week. And then it got sent elsewhere. They missed it. They wanted this. They wanted that. I'm like, it's my money.
Yeah.
It's my money. Can you just, you know, and trying to deal with it on this chat thing was just drive me absolutely
nuts. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's horrendous. It is absolutely horrendous. You know, you said at the start of that you punted. So how did you get into horse racing in general in the first place? That's one of your main passions. How did you start that?
Well, my grandfather was a bookmaker. So was my
sister.
So was my uncle. So my grandfather, who I didn't know, was one of the biggest bookmakers in London. Knew the Chandlers well, who started, you know, obviously big. He, you know, in the days of clock bags and stuff like that. I had my father's father, who, and they were obviously big, yeah, very big bookmakers in those days. Those are clock bags and runners and stuff like that. I had five aunties, and they were quite useful for the business, I understand, because the police didn't used to arrest them. just one of my poor uncles who used to get regularly arrested, apparently. So that was how that all sort of came about. And to say, my uncle Fred had a shop. He taught me how to settle when I was about 10. I think we just brought decimalisation in, actually.
Wow.
And I worked for local bookmakers, worked on tracks, stuff like that. So that's where it went from, really. So there's always been that interest in horse racing and in sport in general. There's not many sports I don't like. Formula One's one of them, but
I don't like Formula One. I might as well go and stand on the M25, aren't you?
Just, well, not with the Insulate Britain lot. But
no, yeah. Yeah.
Mind you, we could do it. No, we better not go down that route. Yeah, that's probably the one that I'm not, you know, obviously, you know, other sport, obviously, football is, I wouldn't say it's a passion anymore. I think like you and I, we sort of learned to accept our sort of position in it now. Yeah. We're sort of like, well, we'll jog along. We might nick the odd cap here and there, and you know, if I ever see a league title again, I'll be very surprised and very lucky. Yeah. I think is the answer to that one. But you know, I take a pleasure when they win, but if they lose, it, you know, it used to bother me for days. And now I'm like 5 minutes. It's like, oh, get on with it. Yeah.
You know? I just want to be entertained.
I think there's a lot of it. A lot of it with that is that my big passion, apart from horse racing, is the NFL.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you about that because obviously you are. I mean, I'm a big NFL fan. It's not a new thing. I started my interest when it came on Channel 4 back in the early 80s.
I think I can beat that. Probably be about that, actually. Just maybe just before that. Yeah, I used to work with a lad who played at University of Minnesota.
Oh, right.
As a kicker. He was a very good rugby player. And we used to listen to it on the American Forces radio. And because he supported Minnesota, I thought I'd better find a team here. So just to really piss him off, I thought I'll find out about all the teams. And of course, they think they're our biggest rivals. Of course, I went and supported Green Bay,
right?
Because of the history, ownership, etc., etc. And I've been a massive Packers fan for
since the early
80s, and of course, obviously the Channel 4 stuff. But I can remember going to the Leicester Square Odeon to watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
about 400 other diehards. And ever since then, I've been to Green Bay, obviously seen them play, been on the radio show there, managed to bag my way onto that.
Oh, brilliant.
Quite handy. Met a few of the players and, you know, watch it incessantly now. And obviously the one sort of bit of writing I do on it now is I do write for a couple of outlets on it each week.
It's an industry, isn't it? NFL. I mean, it's a full monstrous industry.
I think when people talk about the sum of money that our professional footballers are earning, you know, I just turn around and say, do you know what Patrick Mahomes earns then?
Yeah.
Once I told them who Patrick Mahomes is, or Aaron Rodgers, you know, any of them, you know, you sort of, and they sort of like, what? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, these guys are on real, you know, real money.
Massive. And obviously so many stats, so much betting info about it. You sort of said to me, you're doing well to win point. It is such a tough game to beat.
Yeah.
It's not anything that I ever profess to be my main income. I love the game. I love watching it. I love studying it. And I set about a few years ago trying to do some ratings. And I, you know, it's never, ever going to make me rich, but I bobble around and, you know, I'm, what am I, 10 points up? I'm enjoying it. It's good. But obviously, you bet on it.
Mostly sort of prop markets, you know, a lot of players, you know, touchdown scorers, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. So what do you use to study for that? What's your workaround to those?
Okay, so I've got two sort of main databases, but the main one I use is a guy, it's called Establish the Run.
Right.
Which is an American subscription site. And the guy on that's very good. It's more really for the sort of fantasy stuff. I mean, I'm not into the football, you know, stuff over here, but I think there it works very well And sometimes people don't quite understand the relationship. And it's the bookmakers here are getting a lot better, but I still think they miss a trick occasionally if you can get on. You know, there might be, in a very simple example, a player might have played the previous week and maybe have got sort of, you know, receiving yards with 30, but he's playing against a very, very good corner, a safety, whatever you want to, you know, a good opposition. Next week, he's playing against, you know, a side who are weak at covering his position. It's not quite picked up in the market sometimes.
Right, yeah.
They'll pick it up in the sort of the fantasy market. So I've not really delved into those yet. But there is some good money to be made in those as well. It's just, you know, they were all American sites, but obviously that's opening up over there now. You know, DraftKings and things like that. You can have a UK address and have a and have an account with them. So I've had a little sort of dabble in the last couple of weeks and done okay. Just a very, very minor level, and it's interesting. That's say the established and run site is very good. There's a lot of good stuff on the web. I've got sort of ESPN sites I use for information, stuff like that. There's various people off Twitter that I've picked up on who are punters over there. And the other thing I do is I've got a list with all the beat writers from all of the papers, and you'll pick up a very, you know, you pick up the little nuggets. This week I picked up, for instance, that Dak Prescott might not be playing for the Cowboys.
Right.
They were going to play the backup, who actually had a very good game. And at the time, you know, Dallas were favourites, actually. And, of course, the market started to move once that.
Yeah.
I took a bit of a flyer that he wouldn't play, and he didn't. So I ended up on the right side of the market. You can sort of trade it out.
Yeah.
Sometimes it goes against you, as you know. You could do that with football sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah, that's
right.
Oh,
so, you know, Harry Kane's not going to play, and all of a sudden.
It's where that info comes from, isn't it? It's the key. You've got to get it.
Yeah. The sort of beat writers are very, very good.
Yeah.
I know the sort of the ones at Green Bay are good. They go with all the practices. And, of course, there you've got all the injury reports as well that you get. And they're generally pretty good. So there's a lot of information. It takes a lot of sifting through. And of course, I could really do with the season not being in our winter, you know, not being in the winter, because it clashes with the national.
I'm going to say it's still a lot of time, isn't it? That's 4 minutes.
Weekends are like, just don't see me. And it's like, I'm here. And then obviously I watch a lot of it on Sundays. And then I'll generally watch everything back through Game Pass, most of the games, and pick up little bits and pieces out there. I love the tactical side of it as well.
That's a brilliant game.
I'm just looking at my sort of bookshelf over there, and I've got, you know, certainly sort of 15 to 20 American sort of tactical books with various diagrams in, and people are like, look at them and go, I'm not sure how you're reading that, but I love
it. No, you said in the our Telegram group, you put a couple of book recommendations.
Yeah,
a while back, sort of said, you should read these. These are good.
It's another sort of, I think sports books is another passion, not the sort of Wayne Rooney's autobiography, but quirky sports books. I've certainly got about 300 or 400 in here. And there's a lot in my loft as well, which Mrs. R is, but they're like ones you probably never sort of get rid of. Mostly sort of horse racing, but a lot of American football, some football stuff as well. But, you know, if anybody wants any sporting book good recommendations, then I'm probably your man for that.
Thank you.
When there was the 3 month break with my little group, I did a thing every day, a bit like you did, really, because I knew there could be a few people who were maybe living on their own, or that keep me entertained as well. I mean, I had to be 6 mile walk every day. And then came back and sort of, let's do a little podcast. So book recommendation, read a bit out of it. I like a bit of cooking as well, so thanks for the recipe. I've tried some of them. And so the walking actually nearly got me back into running again, because I've done 16 marathons as well.
You've done 16 marathons?
16, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Done the London Marathon?
Four times.
Four times?
New York, four. Paris, Manchester, Cardiff. Dublin, get a pint of Guinness at the end of that one. It's good.
I'll do that one.
Yeah, it was a client at work got me into it. It was a client who, a really good client, and John's left the industry now, big QPR fan. And he was always, you know, we always had to do something with him. And I didn't want to do the parachute jump, although I have done one. I thought when he said, what about running a half marathon? It was at the time of I wanted to get fit again. Having sort of packed in sport and sort of got a little bit chubby. And thought, right, we can do this, and ended up doing the half marathon, the Great North Run, and it ended up doing it 7 times in the end. And that was good. So done that a few times, and then it ended up starting off like we're going to do a marathon. The first one I ever did was New York, actually.
Wow, yeah, that's incredible. That is
impressive. 3:45 best time. It's not great, but it's, you know, gets you round.
It's not bad. I'll just jump out.
Gets you round.
I'll do that Dublin one. Just jump out in the last mile and then.
Well, then, get the Guinness at the end. It's quite nice, actually. Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. You've led some life.
It's been fairly interesting, isn't it? But yeah, trying not to keep it dull. I think Betfair was always it was a great place to work.
Certainly those early days when it was set up. It seemed fantastic. It did seem, you know, even going on Betfair days when I started full time and things, it just seemed a friendly, reasonable place. And that's the thing. I think the thing you said earlier, when you talk to people, they seem to know what they were talking about and they seem to understand you and what you were trying to do. And that's the thing, I think, that probably that frustration level for me, I just know I'm talking to somebody who A, has got absolutely zero interest, it seems, and B, not a lot of idea.
But I think you'd probably, I might be making a sweeping generalisation here, I think you'd probably find that at most bookmakers these days.
I think there are
There are some very good people, I'm sure, but there are, you know.
Yeah. I think industry all round. Yeah, I think industry all round has gone that way. So from somebody who's obviously family in the industry as a kid, gone into the industry, you're obviously a very, very intelligent, switched on guy. What advice would you give these guys we've got listening today? I know I rant and rave at them, but from a more level headed, older than me, older than me.
I can do the rant and I don't worry, I can do the rant and rave, but believe me, as you get older, I think you probably become a little bit more, I don't know, I think you probably become a little bit more patient and that sort of, that side of things. I think you probably, a lot of what you preach, and I don't mean that in a sort of wrong way, is the right way to do it. You're going to need an awful lot of discipline. That's the thing, and it's like doing the 100 days thing, which I'm doing along with you, and I enjoy doing. And it's like when I'm doing it hooks you into something. You think, oh, you know, you can keep doing something, but it's discipline, it's repetition, but don't spread yourself too thin. That's the nugget that people want to do. They want to do everything.
Yeah,
and you're spot on when you talk about, you know, you've got the social media, you've got Twitter, you've got Facebook, blah, 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 blah. And I find Twitter quite a useful tool sometimes. I'm a bit like you. I don't get involved in politics or anything like that. I'm just like, yeah, get on with it. And I very, you know, I occasionally put a sort of little snippet up there of NFL. I put something up there for this evening. But you generally get somebody telling me I'm wrong or something. But hey, I mean, whatever. You just try and, you know, if you do one thing and do it well, first of all.
Yeah.
And I think you've got, I mean, my introduction to my little service is very, very, in a way, somebody read it and I showed it to a friend of mine who's not a punter, who went, oh, that's a bit harsh. And I said, it's meant to be. It's not easy. It's hard.
Yeah.
There will be days when you feel like you're going to give up.
Yeah.
But you've got to keep going. And if you've got somebody, and I did like the idea that you know find someone to buddy up with.
Yeah.
I think being in a group helps to a certain extent. And maybe the smaller the group, a tighter group,
yeah,
would be slightly better. Sometimes, and I think we've seen it with our telephone group. Yeah, it's quite nice to banter sometimes in there. I don't really like that word, but you know what I mean. But it can get lost. And then there's a nugget in there.
Yeah.
and it's all got lost.
I agree. Yeah,
smaller groups. It would really help people, and there's obviously some very, very good people in there who are on that pathway. But people want everything today. And I've said, you know, in my introduction, I actually say to people, sit and watch for 2 or 3 months. I had a lad, you know, I said to him, sit and watch for 2 or 3 months. What we do, just listen to me every day for 2 or 3. And even just if you want a paper, I can't do that. No. I said, well, you're not used to me.
Yeah. No, that's, you know, everything I put to people, I always put, just follow it. Just follow it for the minute. Yeah. Actually get used to it. Actually see what can happen. You know, I done £5,000 on Friday. Over the space of 2-3 hours, I done £5,000. I'd won £5,000 pretty much from Sunday to Thursday.
Yeah.
So you feel, all right, ticking along nicely, gave the whole lot back on Friday night. Literally, you know, 2-3 games, bang. And that's what you've got to see. You've got to, unfortunately, because they dive in and they don't, exactly what you say, they don't want to watch, they don't want to learn, they just want to, they want that instant. They don't see that. So then when it happens to them, you know, because they've dived in, they're not prepared for it. They're just, oh my God, what's gone on? You know, and we, like you say, we all have. We all have. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter who you are, what way you've been.
A red mist.
Yeah.
We've all done that. Yeah. Admit it, you have. You've had a tilt.
Yeah. We have, right, yeah.
I'm going to have a...
Yeah.
I'll tell you a sort of a popical story. It's not me. And another one that I sort of dislike targets. People say to me, how much are you aiming to win every day? I said, I'm not.
Mm.
I might win a fiver one day. I might win £5,000 the next.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm not sitting here thinking I've got to win 50 quid because I had a mate of mine who had to win £100 every day. And you know what's coming.
Yeah.
So he gets to 98 quid. And it's sort of the last race of the day. So I'll lay a 50-1 chance for 2 quid. And you know what's happening next.
Yeah.
It wins. So what does he do? He's on the chase. He's in, you know, Saratoga Park at 10 o'clock at night, trying to get it back, ends up doing £2,000.
Yeah.
He's never done it again, but that's the problem with...
No, they...
If you're going to set a target, okay, fair enough, set a sort of parameter.
Yeah, yeah. I think I've said it on the pod. I'm dead against them for that exact reason, because, you know... Let's flip it the other way. Let's say he wins his 100 quid by 3 o'clock. There might be some cracking opportunities from 3:30 to 5 o'clock. Might be some of the best of the day. And what, you're going to turn those off because they don't?
Because they don't matter.
Then. Yeah, exactly. And it is. And that's, you know, going back to what I said when we were talking at the start, it is cut out the mistakes. It is, isn't it? It's just those are perfectly manageable mistakes that are purely in your control. You know, not scoring a goal I can't control. No. What I can control is I've lost that money. I'm not going to go and have a grand on a game straight off.
I've lost count of the times I've said, even to my missus, I've said, control what you can control.
Yeah, yeah.
Because control, at the moment, to a certain extent, you'll get this, Ian, as well. You're in the same situation with your daughter over in Malta, although I know she's been back and you had to future-proof the house and things like that. But we've got family in New Zealand. Now, obviously, you know, you've got absolutely, you know, we're 1,000 chance to get there at the moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, Claire, my missus, is, you know, she's worried about it. But I said to her, look, you can just control what you can control. There's no point in worrying about it. There's nothing you can do about it.
Can't do anything about it, yeah.
No, control what you... I can't control. Something can come to the last 20 lengths clear and it finishes on the floor.
Yeah.
Now, I can't control that.
Mm.
The only thing I can do is if I stand to win a few quid, is sticking a lay, you know, a lay before it gets to the fence, and give a few quid back, which I generally do these days, and you know, when I do the podcast again, sometimes I sit and look at a race and think, Christ, there's about 6 ways I could approach this, or there's 2 or 3 horses, which may, you know, one may do this, one may do that, and you're thinking, right, what do I do here? So now I go through the race, give the analysis, give the examples of how you could play the race.
Mm.
And then it's up to the guys how they want to play it. And I'm sure any of them would come on or talk to you and say, yeah, we've done very well in the last sort of 4 years since I've been running it on my own. And, you know, they've learned a lot, which is the similarity between what I think I do and what you're doing with FTS. There's an educational side to it as well.
Mm. Yeah. And, I mean, I've been doing it a long time, and I've said it many times. I had this utopian idea of just do what I do. And I did. And I just thought, because you know, I'm sure you do. Once you actually sit down at your computer and start trading, like every day for me is just autopilot. I go through the same routine, you know, and it is an OCD thing, but I pretty much do the same things in the same order every day to end up where I want to end up. And then when you actually start trading, it is just autopilot. Mm. And I'm things I promise, I never ever panic. I don't, you know, it's almost sort of Zen-like, particularly since I've started using BetAngel, because I did everything on the main interface. But when I started using things like BetAngel, I'm always sort of, oh, yeah, I just need to click that now, click that. It's not. And you feel like time almost slows down for you, where other people, you know, oh, shit, goal's gone in, red card, whatever it may be. And I watch people and I think, Jesus Christ. And, you know, I saw when you talk to people, you got no chance. Doesn't matter what we do, you've got no chance. But I had that utopian thing.
I've had people like that when, you know, I've said, you know, and getting people to use proper percentages of their bank. But, you know, I had an example a fair while ago now. And, you know, I wasn't particularly strong on this, you know, this trade, and it didn't work. And the guy said, I've done 50% of the bank. I said, well, who told you to put 50% of your bank in there? Yeah. I'm like, and because the group has been together quite, I don't want to, you know, if people were interested, then by all means contact me. What I generally do is then have about an hour long conversation on the phone with them, you know, just to almost sort of suss you out. You can't quite do that with FTS, and there's a slight difference in that. But
I wish I did.
Well, yeah, you probably take you. Yeah, well, yeah, it's very. But like you, I'm fascinated by why people want to do it.
Yeah,
and if they can do it.
Yeah.
And the mentality. I mean, I love watching people at the racing and stuff like that, and obviously being around it and being in betting shops and stuff like that, and being on the end of the phone at Betfair, etc. I mean, I encountered lots of different people there. Some very interesting people as well. Mm. And I've obviously used to do a bit of the sort of box work with Betfair as well, you know, VIP stuff, and get trotted out to do the, you know, run through the card, and then obviously do the RUK stuff. You meet a lot of punters and stuff like that, and you've got to give an opinion, and, you know, you have people tell you you're wrong, whatever. Well, fair enough. I'm just there to give an opinion. That's, you know, if you can do better, then fine. It's, that's, you know, I just got to get on with it. But, you sort of, I suppose you develop a bit of a thick skin in a way, but you've got to sort of concentrate at things every day. And you do have to, you know, I've said to anyone, going back to the sort of original question, if you're thinking of going full-time, I'd almost try and do it first as a, you know, treat the days you can do it as a, you know, as professionally as you can.
That's good advice. Yeah.
I hate the term pro punter. I mean, for instance, when I was working, my weekends when I was punting, I did all the same prep. I might have missed, you know, I've missed the week, but I've still got to prepare properly for the weekend. So
for it wasn't the Saturday, just,
you know, picking out my Saturday, yanking out the, you know, paper, you know, you see people who's running a betting shop. Like, first thing, no, I'm like, Jesus Christ, what are you doing? You know, so there was a lot of form study and preparation into that. The one good thing, you know, the other things is that's discipline, time management, get the right tools for the job as well. You know, people don't get the right tools. I mean, I watch a lot of racing. The other thing I use religiously for my racing is a system called ProForm.
Right. Yeah, I've heard of that.
A very good friend of mine, a guy called Simon Walton. It's excellent. You know, I don't get anything for that. Proformprofessional.com. It really is. I mean, it's, you know, it's got an in-running database as well. It's got all the form there. It's, you know, if you like doing systems and stuff like that, it's, you know, there's all stuff for that sort of bits and pieces on there. I suppose in a way it'd be a bit like sort of, you know, the systems that you've got and the excellent bits of kit, like, you know, OptiBet and stuff like that, and the other bits and pieces that you've developed. So that's a bit of a time saver. But, you know, don't think you're going to do it I really curmudgeon side. And I really say to people, don't think you're going to do it by watching a couple of videos and reading a book. You're not.
No, I think that bit of advice there, that is something, guys listening, you can take that. You know, if you do work Monday to Friday and Saturday's your punting day, I've never said that. But yeah, do it as if you were doing it for your life. I think that's great. I think that's
how I sort of progressed onwards. Yeah. And then, there were other days I went, and obviously gradually it became, I became, a full-time, whatever you want, punter.
And you, I enjoy what I do. Get one of the things I sort of find, people start off with this and they, I've talked about the people who want to bet and the people who don't get enough. And I think there's people who just use their time so badly. And our group has got people in there who do that. I'm not going to mention any names, but on that Telegram group, you see it. And I want to sort of get them and shake them. But on the flip side, I've got people who, I want to do it. And then you say, right, got to do this, got to do that. Oh, didn't want to do that. Didn't know I'd have to do that. And they sort of look at me as if I'm slightly barking for doing it. But I actually enjoy it. I actually really enjoy sitting with my three screens. I'm almost sort of circled in like a little bubble, and I really enjoy it. You still get the buzz out of it?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. I think you probably get it with it. I mean, because we sort of run the same things. Obviously, FTS is a larger group than I run. But I get a buzz out of them winning.
Mm.
A really good day. And I know I've had a good day as well, because they're following me, basically. Yeah. Anything I always say to them, you're not doing it. And unless I'm doing it, you're not doing it.
Mm.
And if you are, well, okay, you might be having a bet, but that's nothing to do with me. Mm. Whatever you want to do is up to you. But, everything I put up, I back.
Yeah.
Or trade or whatever. Yeah. You're basically, my podcast is basically my template of the day.
Yeah.
I used to do podcasts and write a load of notes out as well. The time was just, I just couldn't get the time to do it. I'm quite a quick typist, but not that tip. But I do notes for them, looking back at meetings. And if you keep them all, you're probably doing quite well out of it, because we spot quite a lot of horses. I do write a column in the summer for a friend of mine's website, which is all about basically horses that have run well against a pace or a draw bias. It's called Beating the Bias. That's had some tremendous winners out of it this year. I mean, 33s, 25s. There was one on Friday, which it's only flat only, but it's coming to the end now. And that hadn't won a race for 2 years, this horse, Soto Sizzler, and won at 16-1. So, and people follow those, tend to follow them sort of two or three, the next two or three runs. There's a few duffers in there, but it's made money. I've been writing it 6 years now, and it's made money.
Those sort of prices, you can have a few duffers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not picking sort of, short stuff. Some of them end up being, some of them next time out are short, but I tend to try and find the sort of something a bit interesting and something which you think, is going to replicate those conditions next time out. But I do think if you treat it professionally, but like you, Ian, I'd love to. I mean, I'm looking forward to coming to the Manchester do.
Yeah.
So you put me down for that one straight away. I will be there. But I'd be fascinated to talk to people. I mean, horse race, I love talking about it. I could talk to our cows come home. Yeah. I'll talk to you a day.
Well,
But I'd love to do more teaching about it, because people think, and how can you teach it? And it's not the sort of trading bit of it, it's almost showing people races and things to look for.
Oh yeah,
I've done it with two of my lads, well, certainly one of my lads who used to come around every week, and still, well, obviously COVID sort of there, but
yeah.
I used to watch probably two or three hours of racing a week with him, and just sit and point stuff out to him.
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
You'd be more than
I'd love, because I love horse racing. My biggest thing, and I've,
it's time with you, isn't it?
Huh?
It's time as well with you.
It's time, I've never, it's what we're talking about. I've never, because football was my thing, and I love football, making money trading it, and I really enjoy. I love racing, but I never put my time into learning enough about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
About the actual sport itself. I know about the numbers and the odds and this, that, and the other, but I never put my time in. If you said to me, like you've said, whatever, a novice hurdle, I don't really know what that means compared to...
There's a whole thing here, or maybe there's a thing here that, I could do a whole seminar day on that and just teaching people even the you know, if you learn the basics.
And that's exactly what we say, it's the basics of it, isn't it? You know, I mean, even on our own FTS racing files, we have all these things, juvenile, auction, maiden, and invariably I just clear them all to blank and think I'll just focus on the race. I haven't got any of that because I don't know what any of it means. You know, yeah. I obviously know group one is better than group three and this, that and the other, but the actual, all that sort of stuff. And I just thought, I don't put my time into it to know enough about these.
But there is this time. I mean, when I sort of subscribed to FTS, I thought this is a 5-year project for me because I've got to find the time. And I must have, and I'll admit to you, the first year I hardly used it.
Yeah.
But I did a lot of playing around with it.
Yeah.
So I've got to get used to this. And now I've got a couple of simple systems. And now the Poisson sheets are out. I'm really fascinated. They're my sort of, that's the fascination for me because of the numbers background, because I'm not saying the rest doesn't hold water. Of course it does. But the bit I'm interested in is that, because it's that seems to be that's got a real, nutty bit to it.
It's the logic behind it. Exactly.
Yeah, I like the logic, because when you said Poisson, I mean, I know you've explained it and explained it very well. I thought I immediately know what it is, because obviously because I did a lot of kind of metrics and statistical work. I thought, oh, that's interesting. And there's a lot of meat behind it, and the way it rolls on, I'm thinking, you can really use these numbers.
No, I mean, nearly, you know, I do set and forget on ultimate. Everything else I do, I mean, obviously we have an ultimate Poisson, but I have three in effect larger versions of Poisson, which is based on all the stuff that we had off Football Data Direct and that on, and it covers all the leagues. And that's what I run every morning. And that basically forms the basis of what I do on a day. When I say I've got a trade in this, that's where it's come off. It's come off one of those three versions of Poisson.
A lot of my work comes out of Proform and my notes, you see.
Yeah.
So when I see a race, I sort of, especially over the jumps, I've got a lot of data already on it, and then it's just a matter of me assimilating it and putting it into what I think is going to happen. It's not an exact science, and that I think that's what puts a lot of people off. But you can learn. I've proved it with you know, three or four of my guys who are what I can say to them, and I know they'll go and interpret themselves, but it's not going to be instant. I say that in my introduction. You know, where do I think you can get it? 6 months minimum.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that because I want to take 6 months money off you. No. But that's, you know, that's what I believe before you even start to make sense of it.
No, Andy, I 100%. I mean, we live in a world where everybody wants everything tomorrow. And that's half our battle when you are trying to teach people this game.
And I'm not being critical of people who've written a book or done a video or whatever, but you know, you can watch a few of those and you will learn from it, but you're not going to, you know, it's not going to be instant. And it's an instant world. You're not going to be, it's like I'm saying, you know, you go from a good Saturday punter, you can go from whatever day, it doesn't matter, you know, people work different days, but, you know, a good daily punter, you can transfer those skills. But when you are doing it, take it bloody seriously.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you're dead in the water.
No, that's right. And that's it. And I think, you know, when you're online in particular, you open your doors, that's it. A lot of them just go at it half-hearted. They see the number, they see the end product, you know. One I use quite a lot is Psychoff, obviously post big numbers. Yeah. Run. We don't know the process and how many years he's been through to get to what he does. No. And I'm pretty sure that you cannot pick it up in 2 or 3 days, just knowing what I do.
Yeah. Have you got the mental strength to bet like he does?
Exactly. To then go ahead and grow those stakes up to that. And I mean, I had a conversation with someone out for some lunch with some friends last week who bet, and betting 20, 30 quid, they were fine. Now, all of a sudden, they're up to 100 quid. Exactly the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. They've got a bigger bank. So nothing really has changed except for it's now a three-figure sum. And that mentally, when they have a bad day, is beating them up.
Yeah.
And all those things that you need to deal with, it's massive. It is.
I mean, I think when I listened to your podcast, the first sort of 6 months to a year, I feel I'm thinking, blimey, this guy's sort of saying the same things I've been saying for about, you know, ever since I started. And you just got to have that discipline, patience, timing, and just sheer hard. It's bloody hard work.
Hard graft. That's
but
it.
Nobody
that's
wants to put that in a video, put it out there, do they? And say, this is actually sod it. This is fucking hard work.
Yeah, and that is basically whatever circle you go around, that's where you end up. It's hard graft. It's an absolute grind. You are going to have.
But you're doing, you should be doing something you still love doing.
Yeah.
And I love talking to people like you and other punters. And, you know, and there is no, and it can be, it could be someone who's made a fortune back in lucky 15s, someone punting on a football, someone doing the bowls, tiddlywink, snooker, don't really care what it is.
No.
If you found something that you enjoy and you can make money out of, that's fine. If it is backing off the drones and you've got it down, that's fine. You know, there are so many ways to skin a cat these days. But if you're making money out of it, then fine. And if you're doing it with £2, a fiver, £1,000, you're still punting. And it's whether you want to work your way up and you suddenly get, if you get to a level, I think you said it the other day, you think you've got to where you, could you get beyond where you punt at the level you are at the moment, or would it make you feel uncomfortable?
It is an uncomfort. I mean, I have, when I'm involved, I've got quite a bit of money out, and you do sort of, even now I look and go, fucking hell, if they all go against me, I'm in trouble for today. I sort of got to a figure that I'm happy to have a liability. I don't want to sound flash. I don't really do it for the money so much anymore like that. It's more that I enjoy it, the challenge. Of course, the money comes in and it's welcome. I'm not saying it's not, but it's not. In the early days, I was a lot hungrier for the money side of it than I am now. You know, mine was very money motivated when I did it in 2006, seven. I wanted to beat it, but it was about a freedom and a financial freedom. You know, all my goals, I talk about goals a lot. When I set goals, they were all financial, mine. It was all pay my mortgage off, get rid of this, get rid of that. And I just sort of got to a level where I think, actually I've got X, Y, Z out today and that does me. I couldn't bet. I couldn't bet at the levels that Psychoff bets. I mean, we never ever see the reds. We only ever see the greens. Four-figure liability is I'm comfortable with. Five-figure liabilities, I'm probably not.
Yeah.
And it's part of...
I think we're quite similar in that. I think I think I've worked the way to four-figure liabilities on occasions. But I need to be, you know, I need to be pretty sure. I've got the odd one wrong. I've got more right than wrong. Yeah. But I wouldn't still be here. But, you know, it can go wrong. It's not, it is not an exact science.
No, and I think that's worked for me. That's the thing. I think the way I bet, you know, going back to what we say about doing what suits you, it suits me and it works for me. And I never, ever, no matter, you know, I didn't go to bed Friday night having done $5,000 in a bad mood or anything, because I know that's all part of that process that I go through, and these days happen. But I don't, if it was 15, 20 grand, I might have a different night's sleep. I might be thinking, Jesus Christ almighty. You know, because when you say it's a lot of money, isn't it? Oh, 15 grand.
It's always an interesting thing with that. You sort of, if you were going in a, you know, if there was a sort of physically handing over that money, would that seem any different to you just sort of pushing the old numbers on the screen and the balance going up and down? Sometimes I have had that conversation with myself. It doesn't seem real money sometimes.
No, it doesn't. No.
You're like, you know, there's a liability of $2,500 up there on, you know, Red Rum.
Yeah.
And it's just on the screen. It's not like me going and...
I think that's exactly right. And I think we become immune to it.
And that's another sort of angle of people. I mean, like you, I'm fascinated by the guys in the Telegram group. I want them to do well. And I've listened, and but there's all very different ways of doing it. I mean, you know, I admire what Steve Williamson does.
Yeah.
I don't think he would be comfortable with what I'm doing.
Mm.
And I would probably be a bit bored.
Yeah.
That's not saying it's wrong.
No.
It's just not. And I do a little bit, but it's more to get a position before a race. I know I'm going to trade in a race.
Yeah.
Mm. So there's a sort of nuance there of it, but everyone's got their own way of doing stuff.
Yeah. And it's exactly, you know, it's all that we've said. You've got to find your own way, your own comfort zones. But I mean, what I do say to people is you do have to push yourself, particularly starting out financially, that you're not going to make money betting in tenners. You're not going to make money that you might make a few quid, but you're not going to make anything that's going to change your life. You're not going to be paying your mortgage off betting in tennis.
I think that for that sort of first year that you do, I think you're probably best keeping it sensible.
Smaller. That's right.
You've got to build up from there.
Yeah.
I'm always a little bit 50-50 on sort of paper trading. I always sort of think at least put, you know, a small sum in there. I don't know what your view on that is, Ian. But
yeah, I've got no problem. I think particularly testing forward. You've got to test things forward as opposed to always backwards. And I always say to people when I've got FTS, and then I've got some people I work closer with. Mm. And I always say to those people, particularly if they say, oh, can I put more money in and this, that, and the other? I say, convince yourself. You don't need to convince me. Convince yourself you can win. Because if you can't convince yourself you can win at that level, what possibly makes you think putting more money in is going to help the situation? Because it isn't. It's going to actually make it a damn sight worse. Mm-hmm. So just get into that. Exactly like you say, if you can have 12 months where, yeah, you might have 4 losing months, but you've got 8 profitable ones,
yes,
and you come out on top at the end of it to a reasonable amount. Right, now let's...
Gives you that bit of confidence, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, is that exactly.
You know, I've said to people, look, if you have a losing trade, and it doesn't matter what the size is, just do something that you almost know is going to win to a small, just to give yourself that little bit of confidence back. It might be a quick scalp. It might be one that you just know is going to lead. And, you know, you can nick 10 ticks out of it quickly. Mm. You know it's going to lead. Mm. You know it's going to shorten. Just bang, bang, out, in and out, and just gives you that green screen.
It is confidence. That's exactly right. And there's days when you do take a pound in and you feel exactly, you know, I think you said the words earlier, you feel like giving up. And I know they go through these things, but that all comes down to me to having a process and knowing what you're doing.
It becomes a battle with you. I mean, I had a heart scare. Well, I had a heart operation 3 years ago, just over 3 years ago. I had a quintuple heart bypass.
Yeah.
After running all them marathons.
That's what's being an Arsenal fan does.
Well, probably, yeah. But I mean, that was, it came on very quickly, you know, and I couldn't walk 500. They stuck me one of them machines.
Yeah.
Running machines.
Put the stuff through the blood.
I couldn't get 300 yards. It was like, doc comes out, then you're in for the old pump it round your thing, and then it's purely hereditary. Ended up having a quintuple heart bypass. I was back working within 6 weeks, but that sort of gave you a bit of time for reflection and a bit of stock taking as well. And in that time, you know, you can still sort of think, where am I going with this, and what can I do? But I think, you know, the bottom line is, if you don't enjoy it, don't do it.
No, yeah, that's fair.
The day I stop enjoying this, the day I'll stop doing it.
You'll pack it in, yeah. And yeah. I'm much the same. I had a period, I'm 50 now, as you know, mid-40s. Yeah. I just did set and forget, and I didn't trade at all. I stopped for 2 years, and I pretty much decided that's me done. I'll just do some set and forget. And we filled the 2 years, didn't go on massive holidays, but had a few trips, and I think Sam quite enjoyed me not doing it. And then
I think Claire would probably enjoy, you know, something. I mean, she does, you know, there is a sort of, there are times you're like, weekends, and I'm not doing anything now, especially now I've got NFL and, the racing on, you know, especially with the jumps, and it's like, well, I'm not going anywhere, you know.
I just ease back. I'll
just sort of snap, do something. I say, well, I have, you know, also got people who, you know, depended on me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm saying they depend. That's wrong. That's over-egging it a bit. But, you know, I don't like letting people down.
Yeah. No, that's it.
I've seen it with you, Ian, as well. And, you know, everything has to, you know, go out. And if it's not quite right, and
I panic. You know, and I'm like, that causes me more panic than any yeah. missed VAR goal or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I eased myself back into it. Not just boredom, really. I just thought, oh, I'll have to. And I probably love it more than when I did it sort of 38 to 44, 45. Mm. I really, really enjoy it. I love it. I absolutely get a real, I win or lose, I just love it. I walk away and go, I've enjoyed that.
But I think you're quite like me in the fact that, you know, you enjoy other people's success and teaching them as well.
Mm.
Because I genuinely believe, I almost like proving people wrong. When I left my last full-time job in advertising, and I told people what I was going to do. Oh, you won't make any money at that.
Yeah.
There was a lad leaving at the same time, going to trade the stock market. And he was like, lauded. And what's the difference?
Yeah,
I'm trading exactly Red right. Rum yeah. and Shergar. He's trading BP and BT. So
exactly.
What's the bleeding difference? Because there's just that little bit of stigma, you know, there's that stigma of, I can't make any money doing that.
Yeah, and that's a skill you can learn, but this one you can't.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it? That's how people treat it. Or you can go and do and learn how to do, but you can't learn betting. You can learn stock markets.
That's why I would love to do a day, you know, chatting to people, showing people, you know, the basics.
We are definitely. I'm gonna email you after.
I've talked myself into this now, haven't I?
When we finish this, I'm gonna email you. I'll email you my phone number, and we'll have a little chat. And we'll set a couple of things up for FTS guys.
I genuinely would like to meet a few. It's not a sales pitch. I certainly don't want to do that. But you know, it wouldn't be. You know, I people ask me about the stuff that I do, and I'm very honest about. I say it wouldn't be for everyone.
Mm.
It really wouldn't. And you've got to, you know, it's something that you've got to find your own path on. And if you haven't got 6 months to a year, I don't want to take your money.
Mm.
I genuinely don't.
No, that's right. And
you're going to waste your time. You're going to waste my time. But if give me a year, and I genuinely think I can, you know, I can help you.
And I'm like you,
Ian, that, you know, genuinely will give my time and Zooms and things like that and try and help people out and stuff like that. And that's what I thought. There was a real crossover between us as well, because obviously, as I say, four or five of my guys are also FTS members as well, and you know, they've done very well with the data and learned how to use it. And I think that the similar sort of backgrounds, but it is just love, you know, just love. I like talking to punters.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I mean, I've absolutely loved it. I mean, you know, Lee came on last week, didn't I? From Adam, you, I yeah, knew my yeah. name up. You know,
different.
A few people had emailed me about you and said, Andy's a top guy. Obviously, you've been, whenever you contribute in the Telegram group, it's always pearls of wisdom. I'm not really
what I would call a banter merchant, but I mean, no. You know.
Well, you're an Arsenal fan, so you can't be, can you? Well, you just got to sit in your corner and be quiet.
Well, I mean, now you've just sacked the man who was, you know, manager of the month, wasn't he? About 3 months ago, about 2 months ago.
Yeah, somebody texted me that this morning.
After bringing out a champions after three games video, I was going to ask.
Somebody texted me that this morning because I did.
I think where there are a lot of similarities between the two clubs at the moment.
I was adamant he had to go, and then when I text somebody this morning saying he's gone, and he said, wasn't he manager of the month?
I'd forgotten that as well. I saw somebody post that. I thought, oh, blimey. But just think, you've got a nice ground, though. You can turn it into a nice NFL ground.
Andy, before this falls into a state of disrepair, I want to thank you ever so much for coming on. I will drop you an email. FTS guys, I will be in touch. Andy and I will put something together for people over the coming months.
I'd love to. I genuinely would love to. It'd be nice to meet people. We'll try and put, yeah. Might need a bit of help from Dave. He's good with the old.
Dave's the organizer.
Yeah, Dave is.
Dave pulls all the strings.
Things,
Dave. Yeah. Dave's my puppet master. I'm just the puppet. He pulls all my strings. Do this. Do that.
We might need the man from Middle Earth to do something as well at some point.
Well, we'll have a chat about that. I'll give you a call about that, and we'll see what we can do. But Andy, thanks ever so much for coming.
Pleasure.
Absolutely fancy. I've loved it. Absolutely brilliant. And I will drop you an email literally in the next 10 minutes. But thanks ever so much. Andy Richmond, guys. Thanks ever so much, Andy. Cheers.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.